Headline: Republicans set to unveil tax plan tomorrow. Trick or treat, it's Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown, and it's the witching hour for the Los Angeles Dodgers as the H-Town heroes known as the Stros go to game 6, 7:05 tonight, Texas Standard Time. That is 6:05 El Paso time. A win tonight will give the team its first world championship in franchise history. And yes, my flirtation with verb tenses there, most intentional. Apologies, Dodgers fans. After Harvey, a lot of people in Houston way beyond ready for a celebration. Just 2 months on, maybe cause to rethink what many of us thought we knew about Harvey. Like the looting some have talked about, Robert Downen has found some surprising numbers that counter a common narrative. Robert is Metro reporter for the Houston Chronicle. You write that on August 27th, as the rains pummeling Houston, something else is setting records.
Yes, yeah, so we did a little bit of a dive into some of the reports that the Houston Police Department puts out at the end of every month, and found that that day, August 27th, which was the third and worst at the kind of the mercy of Harvey and the storms before it, it was... Police wrote only 50 reports for major violent and nonviolent crimes. By that, we mean aggravated assault, auto theft, burglary, robbery, theft, rape, and murder, which is down from about the average 300 written the same days
in
2015 and 2016.
What are police saying about that anomaly?
Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo credited to kind of this all-hands-on-deck approach that his department had. He said it was kind of the first time that Houston, which he called an kind of chronically under-policed city, he said it was the first time that Houston really had officers deployed across the city. And they also had a variety of other police officers from other departments who kind of came in to augment where they could not get to in the city.
I have to interrupt you because I realize I said anomaly. I should restate that perhaps, because this is really at the core of the debate that you're writing about here. Was this an anomaly? I think a lot of folks assume that during a disaster, there's going to be a lot of crime, right? Looting and that sort of thing. How does this compare to past hurricanes?
Right, and I think with regard to August 27th, I think that would be fair to say it was an anomaly. But generally speaking, if you look at other major crime reports, as we did in my report, after other natural disasters, you do actually see similar trend lines. You know, there is a precipitous drop in overall crime reports written. You usually see a flatlining of most other crime rates. Occasionally, you will see an uptick in burglaries while thefts go down, but people will say that that's mainly because of the way that those crimes are defined. Burglary is defined as having to break into somewhere, have to trespass on a premises, where theft can just be, you know, taking something from a store. So,
yeah.
Well, during hurricanes, when more things are actually closed, you do get a little bit of a trade-off there. But overall, those numbers do still kind of drop. So.
But I'm curious about something, because I do think that most folks do assume that during times of disaster, you do see rather major spikes in crime. And it's interesting to hear how Art Acevedo said, well, that's because, you know, we saw this drop off because we had police everywhere. It was high visibility in places where you don't often see police officers. We were all over town. There's also a flood going on. And so potential would-be looters are certainly going to be impacted as much as everyone else.
Sure. And I think one of the Tulane University professor that I spoke to, his name's Andy Horowitz, kind of put it best, which is, frankly, people just don't go crazy just because there's water in the streets. But as to Acevedo's point about, you know, having a visibility in the city, we actually looked at some research that was conducted after Katrina and Rita and found some things that would actually back up his claim. What the authors of those papers found was that there was no real effect on crime after Katrina. They're looking at long-term using the same kind of data we did. But during Rita, they found pretty substantial upticks in auto theft, burglaries, and other things in the immediate aftermath of the storm, which they blamed on the, you know, the massive evacuations of the city that left homes and neighborhoods kind of open to people who chose not to evacuate. And then they actually plotted it using some geospatial analysis.
Interesting.
and found that actually the neighborhoods most likely to become hotbeds of crime were the ones that were poor neighborhoods and located further away from police stations, which actually kind of reinforces Acevedo's point about visibility.
What's the takeaway here? I mean, since there has been this debate among experts for some time, the extent over which, you know, we should be planning for the problem of looting in the aftermath of disaster, what's the takeaway?
I think the takeaway is, I mean, for one, and as Acevedo notes, having an early establishment of, you know, police around the city as acting as a deterrence force is absolutely crucial in these kind of things. But I think bigger picture and just outside of police operations, the point should be that we shouldn't just assume that these things are inextricably linked. There's this idea that crime is always going to follow storms, and that is frankly, according to most research, not really true. In fact, what most researchers actually say is that there's this certain sense of goodwill and altruism in communities that actually helps deter violence and other crimes in the wake of these things.
Robert Downen is Metro reporter for the Houston Chronicle. We'll have a link to his piece at texasstandard.org. Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you.